Praise the Lord. I was really encouraged by the word, and I just wanted to testify about what we heard. And yesterday we heard about the sin offering, right? And the sin offering is really dealing with all the things we shouldn't do, right? We should not do sin, right? Maybe I go here. And and as priests, we should not do many things, right? It's all written in the Bible. But then, on the positive side, there is the burnt offering. And I was really encouraged. It's not just about not doing things and being living an okay life, not sinning, right? But there is the burnt offering. This touched me this morning. Yeah, the burnt offering, it is for the purpose of the Father. And as priests, we need to be for the Father. Amen. Yeah, the sin offering, it deals with the problem of sin, right? As the name says. But the burnt offering deals with our problem being for ourselves. Oftentimes, being for yourself is not obviously sinful, right? You're doing things that are okay, that may not be obviously sinful, right? But they're just for myself, yeah. Even drinking and having a nice job and all these things are—they're not bad. They're not sinful, and many things we are seeking for are not sinful. But the problem is, many of these things are just for ourselves, and this is why we need the burnt offering, especially if we want to serve the Lord as a priest. A priest is someone who is not for himself, but for God. And this is why we need a burnt offering. There is no other way. I realize this. In myself, I'm only for myself. If I look in my life, how much of my time is for myself? Everybody can look for himself. How much time do I devote to myself? And how much time do I devote to the Lord and to the service in His house? And I cannot change that by myself. I can try, but at some point I will burn out, right? Many Christians burn out. Why? Because they have no burnt offering. They give themselves. And if you give yourself, you won't make it. Because you think it's something, a requirement to yourself. And this won't work. That's why I really enjoy it here. You shall take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. I love this. And this word here, put their hands on the ram, it is like really... as your support, right, is really leaning on it, and you take the strength from it. It's what this ram, it becomes it becomes your a part of you. You cannot do it yourself, but you rely on the burnt offering, and this is what we need. Yeah, on the positive side. Yeah. And so it's good to really ask every morning. Yeah, the priests, they had to offer a burnt offering every morning, and it's good to start the day in the morning. Lord, I rely on you. Lord, I don't want to live for myself today. Lord, show me what is your will today. Yeah, it's not just about doing many things for God. It's really coming to Him and asking Him, what is your will today? Amen. Yeah. And praise the Lord. Then it is cut into pieces. Yeah, many times I realize I'm not so ready to be cut in pieces. Yeah. Especially here, it's written, you shall cut the ram in pieces, you shall wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And that also spoke to me, because many times I have my own head. I have my own thoughts, my own plans, and my own concepts, especially in the church life. I have my own concepts. Oh, I want to have it this way. I like it that way. And then somebody else comes, I like it that way. But I enjoyed here the burnt offering. It's cut into pieces, and the head is especially mentioned here. And this shows in the church life, I really need to put away my own head. And this is so practical in many ways. Recently we got a facility in Germany, right, where we could meet as a church. And there are many things to do. And I realized so many times I need to put my own head away. When we serve together, I often have my own head. But it's so good, this burnt offering, the head is cut off. And we have Christ our head.
Amen.
It's so practical. In many ways, when someone tells me something, it may not be my opinion. And it may be something that he doesn't like about me. And oftentimes I reacted, hey, no, I think differently. But it's really a good practice. I need to let my head be cut off. Praise the Lord for the burnt offering. And then God can work. Then I realize, wow, okay, I take it, I bring it to the Lord, and it's so much better. Yes. And yeah, you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It's, we can really ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be consumed more for your purpose? Yeah, about Christ it is written, we just sung the song, right? The zeal for your house consumed him. All that he did was for the building up of God's house. And to have this question in our heart, Lord, how can I burn more for your purpose? How can your house be built? How can I edify the saints? How can I serve the saints? Also in practical manners, how can I help them or do something that is beneficial to them? To build up the house of God. Yeah, when you look at Christ, he was serving so much, right? Especially in the Gospel of Mark, I read it recently. It was so impressive how much he gives up of himself. And he's really this ram, always given to the will of the Father. So we cannot do it by ourselves, but we take him.
Amen.
And then it will be a well-pleasing aroma. And it will be not to our own glory, but only to the glory of the Father. In the end, we cannot say it was my strength, it was me. He puts an end to us, and that God receives all the glory and honor. Yeah. In the end, the only thing that remains of a burnt offering are the ashes. Yeah. Who of us wants to become ashes? Oh, wow, hallelujah. One. One, hallelujah. It's not so easy because oftentimes I realize there's still some kind of pride in me. When I serve, I still want that someone sees it. I still want, I only do it if someone else sees it. If nobody sees it, maybe I don't do it. Right? And this is our fallen nature. This is our really self-seeking, self-centered, self-glorifying nature. And this all needs to come to an end. This is what it says here. It's a burnt offering. It's totally burned. This means I really only lived for the glory of the Father, not for the glory of myself. Yeah. And ashes, this word is related to the word acceptable in Hebrew. It's the same root. It's the only thing that is acceptable to God is the ashes. I don't know if you like that, but it's good. And in our daily life, in our family life and church life, many opportunities to become to ashes and to lay down our lives for the others and for the service of God. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the burnt offering that is part of the consecration. To make us really people who are for the will of God, that his kingdom may come on this earth very soon. Hallelujah.
Just a minute. I'm so excited, brother. You know, when he just says something that reminded me of something we do very common. So when you want to bring a burnt offering, you say, I want to bring a small burnt offering. There's nothing like small, but it's not yours, right? Yeah, we make this mistake. I want to bring a small burnt offering. You're just being humble in a pride way, in a proud way, right? It's not ours, right? It's completely for the Father, right? You know, and something came out in the speaking that really, really impressed me so much. It's about the heart. The heart. If the heart is not there, how do you think the Father would receive it? So many things we do, we don't even do it heartily. You know, Sapphira and Ananias, they sold their property. Praise the Lord. But they kept some back. They lied and they kept some back. You want to give it to the Lord? Give everything. Give the heart. I pray this is not just some teaching, but that the Lord will put this into me, right? That I can take Christ, really, and become really ashes. Praise the Lord.
Good to be excited about the burnt offering. Yeah, one of the things that also spoke to me about this in Exodus 29. Is it?
It's on. It's on.
No, it's not. It's on me, but it's not turned on. Okay. Yeah, I was also, you know, when I was a younger Christian and I read the Bible, I was telling the saints, I often just skipped past the later part of Exodus and Leviticus and especially Numbers. I thought, I liked the interesting stories of Genesis better and the first part of Exodus. But as I grew more, I started to appreciate more and more of this part, right, these parts, because it gives you more aspects of what Christ accomplished for us. In the New Testament, you can read about what he did, and Paul talks, the apostles talk about it, but there's a side that's In the books of Moses, you can really see a lot of details and nuances that are not really captured in the New Testament. And so I really encourage you all to take the time to read it more. And this point about the end, because I was a younger Christian, I thought all the offerings were all kind of similar. You know, it's just an animal was burnt. That's pretty much it. I never really bothered to look into the details. And it was really surprising to me to see that there are different types of offerings. And just like last night and today, we're looking at two different ones. One is the sin offering. And if you look at the treatment, how it was, the process of the sin offering, it's very different from the burnt offering. And in the sin offering, it's not the entire, it was the fat that was burned first on the altar, but that was the only thing that was burnt on the altar. Everything else was burnt outside the camp. But for the burnt offering, the whole animal is burnt on the altar. And that's very significant, because like our brother mentioned, one is for dealing with sin, the other is for dealing with self. And if you think about it, and this is where you have to realize that these are not, we're not talking about animals, okay? This is not what our conference is about. But here it's really to see what Christ did. Because his life, it wasn't just what he did on the cross as the burnt offering, but his whole life, everything he did was about, it was for the will of the Father. You never see anything where he did something just for his own benefit or for his own pleasure. And, you know, he wanted to go his own way. He wanted to do his own will. He had his own ideas, nothing. It was completely in submission to God. Everything he did was for the Father. Even when he was 12 years old, you know, he was about his father's business. You know, are all the 12, who here is anyone here 12? Or close to 12? Huh? Oh, they're not here anyways. They're in the children's business. But yeah, you know, even the kids, right? You're 14? Yeah, okay, close enough, right? So be about the Father's business, right? From a young age, young to old, be about the Father's business. And you can see here that this ram, which represents Christ, they put their hands on the ram so that it represents, on one hand, yeah, it represents support, that he is the one that enables us. But on the other hand, it means this is me also being burnt on the altar. Right? I am the one also being, just as Christ was cut up and burnt completely, I also want to be cut up and burnt completely. You know, when you are burnt, when you are cut up, it's also very painful, right? So to give up ourselves is a painful process. You know, especially if you're young, you have a lot of goals and aspirations. You have things you want to do in life. You know, you want to enjoy life. You want to have fun. But we all must learn to give up everything to follow the Lord. Right? It's not for some of us. Every one of us must desire to give up all to follow the Lord. And that's why I just thought of a couple of verses here in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 34. The Lord said, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Is that our attitude as well? That what fulfills us and what satisfies us is to do the will of the Father. But you know, this is why this is one crucial step of being consecrated as a priest. Because I can't effectively serve God as a priest and to carry out his will if I'm still full of myself, if I have my own ideas, my own opinions, and my own goals. I can't do that unless I surrender all that. Right? So this is, first we have to deal with the sin, and then we have to deal with the self. Many times when we talk about the burnt offering, we associate it with obedience, which is true, but what causes you to be disobedient in the first place? It's your own will, your own desires. That's what causes us to be disobedient. So that's why everything has to be put on the altar. All right, the brother Ronnie brought up Matthew 16 as well, right? We talked about it last night, that to follow him in verse 24, that we must deny ourselves and take up his cross to follow him, denying ourselves. And then also in Luke 14. I really like this section, 25 to 33. He's talking about being a disciple of Christ. Are you a disciple of Christ? Yeah? Are you, if someone asked you, are you a disciple of Christ? What do you say? You say yes, right? You're not just a Sunday Christian, I believe in Jesus, but let me live my own life. That's not you, right? We are all supposed to be followers and disciples of Christ. So this is what he says. Verse 25, now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That means we have to even let go of any human connections that get in the way. Really, we are putting the Lord first. We are putting the Lord first. And sometimes, even those who are close to us, even our family members, can hinder our walk with the Lord. It doesn't mean literally you have to detest them, right? It means that you, of course, we have to love them. Even the Lord on the cross, he told John to take care of his earthly mother, right? He didn't say, go away, Mary. He didn't say that, right? He even made sure she was taken care of, right? But it means that we should not put even our close family members ahead of the Lord, and especially our own life. And whoever does not bear his cross, there's the cross again, and come after me cannot be my disciple. Right? The cross means that we have been crucified with Christ. My own will, my own desire, my own goals, my own pleasures, even my own physical life is to be put on the cross. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He's painting a picture about our Christian walk. When we start our journey with the Lord, we have to realize that there is a cost involved to continue to each step further and further down this road. We need to pay a price. And that price is to give up ourselves, right? To sacrifice ourselves, to live out this burnt offering in our life, right? To put ourselves on the altar. And otherwise, how are you going to finish this race? Right? We don't want to start something we can't finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Yeah, that really has to be so true for us, that we have to forsake all. It doesn't mean that, you know, God's going to tell you to sell everything you have and then, you know, you have nothing and go to a mountain and pray all day. That's not what he means, right? But in this world, of course, we need to have some things to live with. We need clothes, we need food, we need a place to live. We need all these things. Like, all these things are things that we have to use. But what the problem is that our heart is many times attached to them. And these attachments have to be also put on the cross, right? So that nothing can hold us back anymore, right? Because as a priest, as people of God, we are completely given to God, right? And I want to say, this is not just for some of us. You know, that big group that's in the that we see in the cafeteria, I used to meet with them. Yeah, I 25 years ago, I used to be with them. That's before some of you were born. I remember on one Sunday meeting, I saw there were a few people who stood up who said that I want to devote my life to ministry. And those people, they wanted to, you know, go to Bible school and then, you know, pursue ministry. And I thought, wow, this is really admirable. You know, they wanna do this. But you know, most of the people sitting there, they didn't stand up. And I thought, wow, this is really a select few people who do that. But then when I left that, it dawned on me that it's not just a select few people. It has to be. God's calling is for every single one of us. There is no such thing as one group that wants to devote themselves to follow Christ fully and give themselves, and another group that just sits back and comes on Sundays. There's no such thing. But actually, all of us are, this is expected of all of us, that we all forsake everything to follow Christ. So what about your time schedule? You know, many times we talk to new ones, and we say, hey, are you coming to the meeting? Do you want to join some fellowship? What's something they always say to us? Huh? Busy. We hear that so much. I'm busy. You call somebody, I'm busy. How about this brother or sister? Ronnie, did you hear from this person or that person? Oh, he said he's busy. And that person, oh, he's busy. How can we be busy? Right? How can we be too busy for the Lord? Right? That busy is just code word for, no thanks, I'm not interested. Because if you really desired it, and if it really mattered to you, and you had such a yearning and a longing, and you were zealous for it, burning with zeal, you would make time for it. Right? You would definitely make every effort to do it. Right? So that's why it really, the Lord said that we have to be willing to give up our life. And I know some people like to say soul life, but it is not just the soul life. It's your whole life. It's not just the soul, it's even your body. That's why Romans chapter 1, it says to give your body as a living sacrifice. Because what do you do with your body? And we're going to get into this with the next section here. The body is what does what your soul wants to do. It's not enough that your soul wants to. Of course, your soul, your mind, your emotion will have to, but it's the body that carries it out, that actually does it. So that's why in the remainder part of Romans chapter 12, he talks about all the things that we need to do in the church to brothers and sisters, because these are the things that your body actually carries out, right? Okay. Now, let's get into, let's go back to Exodus 29. Now we talk about the other ram. There are two rams, remember. Okay. Verse 19. We'll start from Exodus 29, verse 19. It said, you shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram, and take some of his blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, and on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. Okay, just that for now. Okay. Yeah, so here you can see again. Okay. Verse 19, we read that, right? Then you shall take the other ram. Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram again. So again, this means that they are joined to this. So this is now, what's happening to this ram is happening to me as well. Okay? So you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on his sons, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. And so When I was reading this, I was thinking this means this is part of the consecration again. So this consecration is partly for sanctification and also for the filling. Remember, there were two Hebrew words that were used for consecration. So this word here now, when it says this ram of consecration, this is referring to the filling, or the filling of their hands, so that they have the supply to carry out and do this. So when they put it on the ear, what do you think putting the blood on the ear means? Yeah, they have to listen, exactly. So now, even for us as his priests, what do you listen to? Who do you obey? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? You know, many times people tell me, I can't hear the voice of the Lord. Well, you know, he's actually speaking to us all the time. The reason why we can't hear him is because we don't want to listen to him. You know, when somebody wants to do something, and sometimes what they do is they only talk to the people that will tell them what they want to hear. Right? You won't talk to the people that will tell you things you don't want to hear. Right?
Confirmation bias.
Right? So if you only talk to the people that confirm what you want to hear, you will end up doing it. Right? Even though it may not be right. So this is the problem with our ear. Our ear is so unsanctified. We hear gossip, we hear junk, we hear things that defile our soul. You know, we hear things from people that are not aligned with our goals. And it's just so defiling. It won't lead us. This is not the way that we should go as priests. But many times we don't want to hear the voice of the Lord, right? Because it's just too difficult. You know what the Lord will tell you, and it's not going to be easy. The Lord will never tell us, if you tell the Lord, I want to move higher with you, I want to go on to the next step. Have you ever prayed that to the Lord before? And what does he do? He gives you some hardship, doesn't he? He tells you things that you may not want to hear. He makes life a little bit more challenging for you. He does things to test your patience and your obedience and your faith. In my natural man, I don't want to do that because it's very unpleasant. That's why the burnt offering precedes this, because you need to give up yourself in order to hear the Lord to do it. Otherwise, our self gets in the way and we just don't want to. The Lord is yelling at us and using the saints to remind us. But we just don't want to do it because our self is too strong. That's why the burnt offering precedes it. So now my ear has to be sanctified to hear the words of the Lord. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and people ask me sometimes, how does the Lord speak? Well, he can speak to you through the Spirit that's inside of you. He speaks to you with the Word of God. He can speak to you through the saints. He can speak to you through circumstances around you. But he is definitely speaking. But sometimes we think that he's speaking to us when he's actually not. So it takes training for us to learn when he is speaking to us. The Word of the Lord, when he speaks, it will never conflict with the Word of God. Okay? He will never tell you something that goes against the Word of God. Okay, so in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, okay, it says, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Amen. Yeah, it says to return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. This is one of the most crucial parts of being a believer, is to learn obedience to the Lord, to hear His voice and to obey. You know, if we are disobedient, the Lord really hates disobedience. We can never be a proper servant of the Lord if we don't obey Him. We cannot, you will never be able to grow as a Christian. You can definitely not serve as a priest if we don't obey Him. And obedience comes from the heart. It must come from the heart. And then there's also, again, verse 6, going along with that, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Amen. So there needs to be a purging of ourself, of sin, all defilement from our heart, everything that prevents us from following Him. And verse 8 again, and said, you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, which I command you today. Amen. And then Hebrews, I want to jump to Hebrews chapter 3, also gives us another warning. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Amen. If you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. What does it mean to harden your hearts? What does it mean? Not just, it's also like disobey, but you kind of like ignore it, right? It's like maybe, I don't know, what's a good example?
The word cannot take root inside the heart.
Yeah, the word can't take root. You get, it's like you're resisting what He's trying to tell you. You know, sometimes He's like, He's trying to tell you something, like you need to change something in your life. You need to follow me and do this. You need to give this up. Like I had a situation where there was something I needed to give up that I enjoyed doing. And it was a pastime that I liked to do. And the Lord wanted me to give it up. And I knew He was trying to tell me, He was bothering me in my conscience that you need to give this up. It's affecting your relationship with me. And it's affecting your functioning in the church. But I just kept excusing it, making excuses for it, and just like ignoring it, pushing it aside, and just kept doing what I wanted to do. And the voice in me started to get more and more uncomfortable, until unfortunately one day the Lord had to intervene and actually shut it down. It actually was an expensive problem, right? But He taught me a lesson that woke me up. But anyways, I was hardening my heart. I was resisting. I was trying to fight against that voice in me. And my conscience was bothering me. I was fighting. And thank the Lord that He didn't just leave me alone, but He brought me to finally wake up. Right? But this is the problem. If we hear His voice, it says today, if you hear His voice, don't wait till tomorrow to respond to it. Respond today. Obey it today. Right? Don't do what we always do, is keep pushing it off and delaying it and trying to ignore it. And, you know, that's hardening your heart. Eventually you'll get to the point where you're so hard that He won't bother you anymore. Right, that's where it says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit doesn't just mean when He bothers you in the meeting to say something and you don't speak. That's not the only thing. It's even in your daily life, the Spirit is trying to tell you something. He's reminding you with verses. He's reminding you with brothers and sisters, but you just, Don't bother me, Lord. I know. But just don't bother me. Right? Eventually, you will quench it. Quench means there's a flame burning. We're going to have that tonight, right? With the campfire. What do you do at the end of the campfire? You pour water on it, right? You pour lots of water on it, and then eventually the fire goes out. You don't want the fire of the Spirit to go out. That is a very dangerous thing. We just sang a song about burning, right? The zeal of the Lord is burning in our hearts. And we can easily put out that fire by resisting Him and hardening our hearts. Never want to do that, right? It is a very dangerous thing, because once you quench the Spirit, you will hear Him a lot less. And some people, they become spiritually dead and they don't even hear Him anymore. It doesn't mean they're not Christians anymore. They are still Christians, but the voice of the Lord has become so distant and they can hardly hear Him anymore. And then they just end up completely living by themselves, out of their self, in their flesh, and they don't even realize it. They become completely defiled and useless for the priesthood, and they don't even know it. No feeling at all. If you ever get to the point where you have no feeling of the Lord, if you notice that feeling that the Lord's voice is getting quieter, you better do something about it right away. Don't ever let it go out. Don't ever test the boundary of how far you can go before the Lord's voice is so silent. Never do that either. But always respond and answer Him quickly. This is why the blood on the right ear is so important, right? Sanctify your ear. Allow your ear to be consecrated to the Lord, to always hear Him. Be so sensitive. You know, just now, I didn't tell James, but we were trying to fix an audio issue with your microphone, right? Because we couldn't hear from this speaker. So I turned up the volume, and then James said, oh, there's a high-pitched sound coming from the speaker. But you know, I didn't hear the high-pitched sound. Because at my age, you don't hear high-pitched sounds as well anymore, right? So he heard it. So this tells me that my physical hearing is already, you know, not as good as a young person's. So spiritually, if we are not careful, our sensitivity to the voice of the Lord will go down. Right? We have to be young in spirit, always being able to hear the Lord very carefully, right? So yeah, that was not a good experience. But now also the next part here in Exodus 29, it says here, now the blood is applied to the right thumb. Okay? So the thumb, it's part of your hands. And what do you do with your hands? Almost everything you do is with your hands. Imagine if you had lost a hand. I think you would have a very tough time. Even the thumb, if you're missing a thumb, you can't pick up things very well, right? I'm still using my thumb. Very hard. You definitely can't use chopsticks if you have. So it's to not have a... So that means even our hands have to be sanctified. That means the things that we do, what do we use our hands for? What are the works that we do? Are they really sanctified for the Lord? We spend so much time working for ourselves, making things and doing things, all sorts of things for ourselves. Or for, you know, unfortunately, we spend so much time doing things for our boss and our company. But we need to really learn to sanctify and consecrate our hands to the Lord, to carry out more of the Lord's work. So, like we were reading, the Lord said that my food is to do the will of the Father, right? In Matthew 24, the Lord warns us also that we are all servants of the Lord. And when He comes back, He wants to make sure that we are doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. In Matthew 24, verses 45 to 51, I'll just read this for you. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So just stop here. Firstly, one thing you have to notice is that he's not talking about so-called servants as we understand in Christianity. He's talking about all of us. We are all servants of God. And when he comes back, he expects us to find us giving food, feeding. Did you know that you are capable of preparing and providing food for one another? So this is something that we do through our experiences of the Lord. Things that we go through in life. Ways that when we have gained Christ in different parts of our life. Things that the Lord has revealed to us in the Word. The food that, I'm not talking about Bible knowledge. I'm talking about food that he has given to you through the Word or through the application of the Word in our daily life. And we can use that to feed other people, right? So, but unfortunately, we are often feeding ourselves. We're just trying to satisfy ourselves. It says here, if he finds us doing that as servants, then assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Again, you can see here that the Lord wants to make us ruler. It's not just about being saved and not going to hell, but he wants to make us rulers. And if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, he calls that evil. If you say, the Lord's coming is so far away, it's not even close, he's just delaying, take it easy, relax, I'm just going to take care of my own self, do what I want. And then even worse, you begin to beat your fellow servants to eat and drink with drunkards. Means you get mixed up with the world, with the people of the world. You know, eat and drink with drunkards doesn't literally mean with drunk people. Okay? Of course, if you are eating and drinking with drunk people, obviously, that's not good. Okay? But, you know, everybody in this world is drunk. The people of this world are drunk. Spiritually drunk. When you are drunk, you have no idea where you're going. You're just doing... When somebody is sober, I mean physically sober, you have some control over yourself. But when you're drunk, everything that you would not normally do, you'll just end up doing. And then when you come out of your drunkenness, somebody tells you, did you know you just did this? Did you know you just said those things? Like, you'd be so ashamed to do the things that you would do when you're drunk, because you wouldn't normally do that, because the alcohol actually removes your boundaries, right? It removes that sense. But that, your inhibitions, right? The things that would stop you from acting inappropriately, that's taken away when you're drunk. But now, spiritually speaking, everybody is like that in the world. They don't care about the will of God. They don't care about what's pleasing to God. They have no fear of God. They don't care about what their real purpose in life is. They're just doing whatever they feel like. And then one day when the Lord comes back, that's when they will awaken out of their drunkenness and they'll realize, what have I done? Right? That's the moment when they're going to awaken out of their drunkenness. But that's too late. They can't change anything anymore. Right? So we have to be careful who we hang around with. Who do we associate with? Because they may be, I don't have a lot of experience, but I've heard that when you're around people that drink, that are getting drunk, they'll say, hey, I'll get you a drink too. Right? I will... You want to join with us, and then you start to consume more and more. And then you start to become one with them. I've never heard of a sober person causing the drunk people to stop drinking. It's always the other way around, right? So that's why we have to be really careful about who we associate with. Because so rather than being a servant, feeding the fellow servants, and taking care of the saints, we end up also being drunk as well. Right? It would be sad if the Lord saved us out of the world and then we end up becoming drunk just like them. So what do we do with our hands? Our hands have to do the work of the Lord. And just like we talked about in Romans 12, I'll go back to that again, right? To give our bodies as a living sacrifice. What do we do with our bodies? Lots of things, right? Serving the Lord with the gifts that he's given to us, right? It says here in verse 6, it says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 11, fervent means burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Right, so there it is. What do you do with your hands? You're burning in spirit, serving the Lord. But if I am occupied with myself, my own life, how will I be doing this? If I use up all my time, even my money and my resources, I only use it for the things that I want to do, how will I be available for the kingdom of God? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Yeah, that is a work that we can do, right? How much do we pray for the saints? Distributing to the needs of the saints. This is what I told some of the young people. I said, one of the ways that you can serve the Lord is even to help with the things that you possess, your physical possessions. Right? Like, you know, some of the brothers, they'll use their car to pick up people, to drive things, like even coming here, you know, some of us drove our cars to transport saints and bring things up here. You know, if people have a need, we can drive over to visit them and help out with some different needs, to fellowship with them, whatever. But if you don't have anything, you need to have some possessions in order to do that. But you need a job to get those possessions, right? You need some, unfortunately, money is unrighteous, but you need money to be able to do the things that you have to do, right? So if I am not diligent in making sure my life in this world is in order, I can't also be useful for the kingdom, right? I'm not saying that we should be greedy and try to be rich, but I mean we need to be able to support ourselves to be able to be useful even for the practical needs of the saints. Okay, so I can't distribute to the needs of the saints if I myself don't have anything to distribute. Given to hospitality, blessing those who persecute, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who weep, and weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion, and so on. Right? So there's a lot of things that we can do, the works that we can do. And I won't, again, I'll continue on to the next one. You know, even the blood on the right toe. So what do you do with your feet? You are going places, right? Where do we go? Do we go to where he sends us? So in Jeremiah chapter 7, Okay. Jeremiah chapter 7. 7, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ears, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forward. So this is not talking about physical feet. This is talking about our spiritual feet. Are we following, obeying and following and walking in the ways that he's commanded us? Is your daily life following and walking in the ways of the Lord? Right? And do you go forwards or backwards? Have you ever thought about your progress in your Christian life? Are you moving forward, or are you going backwards? Right? So even our walk, our day-to-day walk, it has to be sanctified to the Lord. Yeah, and I think in Proverbs 12, we'll read a few of these verses. Proverbs 12, 15. I really like this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You know, the problem is, when we're talking about where we go, we're also talking about the decisions that we make. Many times you're faced with knowing whether to go this way or that way in life. There are a lot of decisions that we have to make, but many times we don't bother to ask the Lord. We think we're so sure of the way that we think is right, and we don't listen to anybody. Even if the Lord is speaking to us, we don't listen. And here in Proverbs, it's called a fool. It is definitely very foolish. And then also in James chapter 4, I just want to share this as well. James chapter 4. Verses 13 to 17. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So again, the sanctification on the big toe, the decisions that we make, the path that we choose in life, many times it's based on what I want to do, what I think is right. Here in this example in James, the person says, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city, we'll go do some business there, spend a year, buy and sell, make a profit. Sounds like this person's got everything planned out. I want to do this, I want to do that, this is all the things I want to do. I've got it all planned out. And here in James it says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Why are you making a plan like this in the future of what you want to do? It says, your life is just a vapor. You don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. But here, you ought to say in verse 15, what do you do instead? You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Have you bothered to ever bring your plans before the Lord and ask him, is this what you want me to do? How does this benefit your kingdom? How does this help the church and the saints? Or is this plan just for me, like it says, to make a profit? Does it just profit me? Have I even bothered to ask that? Right? And again, this is why the burnt offering precedes this. Because all our decisions, it cannot be just for ourselves. I have to surrender myself. Even my own plans, I have to surrender. Here it says, if the Lord wills, then you will do it. We shall live or do this or that. Right? Does that, so in this case, this person may miss out on making a profit somewhere. Right? He may miss out on that. He had a plan. I'm going to go make $1 million. I'm going to move to this place, make $1 million. But then he realizes, I should ask the Lord. But the Lord said, no, you shouldn't do that. Oh, great. I just lost out on this. My plan, I have to give up. That's really tough. But then we have to say, amen to the Lord. Right? I am a priest of the Lord. I give that up. All these plans, things I wanted to do, it's not up to me. Now it's up to the Lord. It doesn't mean he won't allow you to, right? It doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean he's going to force you to give up everything and move to a mountain and be a hermit, right? He may allow you to do certain things, but it will be something that he wants to teach you, right? So definitely, if we just go ahead and make our own way, in verse 16, it says, this is boasting and arrogance because I want to be the head. Just like we, Thomas talked about, putting the head has to be cut off and burnt up, right? This, otherwise, if we just go ahead and do what we want, this is boasting and arrogance, verse 16. All such boasting is evil. It is evil in the eyes of the Lord, right? So therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. Yeah, so really I hope that we learn to get into this word and apply this. Apply the blood to every part of our life. Right? We really need such a change in everything that we do.
Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable.
Feet. Amen. 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 Amen.